whatever be done. He says, do it with all your might. All your might. In other words, use your talent, your ability, all the effort that you can muster up. Everything you have. You do your best. You give it the gusto that you have. You use your strength. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. You do what you can do. There's no expectation to do what others can do. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, and you know, this is all that we can ask of another. I just want you to do what you can do. You say, well, I can't do what he can do. That's not what we're asking. That's not even in the text. Whatever my hand finds to do, I'm to do it with all my might. So don't look at someone else and say, I can't do that, what they're doing. I can't accomplish that. You don't, that's not the obligation. That's not the requirement. It's looking to ourselves. Whatever my hand finds to do. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12, for if there is first a willing mind, it's accepted according to what one has and not according to what he has not. If I don't have that talent, I don't have that opportunity, don't have that obligation, I'm not responsible. I'm responsible for what I can do. And I'm to do what I do with gusto. I remember the years ago, there was a commercial on television, Exxon gasoline. Commercial had the phrase, to get the best out of your car, put the best into it. That's all we're asking in this text. If we want to get the best out of us, or if I want to get the best out of me, I need to put the best into it. Interesting too, kind of note this. The text is not concerned with the outcome or the finished product. The text says nothing about the result. It's concerned with our might. The text is concerned with our effort, our trying, our using what we have. Nothing is said in the text that the finished product should look like this. All the text says, whatever you have to do, you do it with all your might. Nothing in there about the end. It's the effort. You know, when I was teaching in San Diego Unified School District, taught special education, elementary school. And for my students, their goals and their objectives many times was just effort. We'd write a goal that this student would try, or this student would give X number attempts at something. This student would stick to a task for so many minutes. Typically, there was never an outcome, like said, that they would know all their ABCs. No. They would put the effort into learning. They would spend so much time in doing a task. There wasn't anything, many times, anything about in the goal or the objective about the outcome. It was the trying, the effort. Had a poster, a little sign on the wall of my classroom by the door. Said triumph is try with umph after it. That's the expectation. That's this verse. Triumph is try and Give some push behind. Whatever the object is, whatever the task is, whatever our hand finds to do, you try it with umph. That's the verse. See? I don't know who the author of this is, but it's just titled anyway. You know, people are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. Next one. If you do good, people will accuse you of your selfish ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you're successful, you win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you do good today, you'll be forgotten tomorrow. But do good anyway. Honesty and frankness may make you vulnerable. But be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People really need help, but may attack you if you help them. Help them anyway. Give the world the best you have. Maybe you'll be kicked in the teeth, but give the world the best you have anyway. That's the verse. That's the verse. There's an old saying in sales. Some people are not willing to pay the price for success, but they'll pay the price for failure. In other words, they don't want to put the effort in. Don't want to pay the price for success, but they'll pay the price for failure. They won't try. Won't try. Number four, the question is when? When should we do whatever our hand finds to do? When? Well, the only time we have to do our work is while we're here on earth, while we're alive. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2. Did I put that on your notes? Yeah, I did. Okay. Ecclesiastes 1 verse 2. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? Oh. So we work while we're alive. Jesus said in John 9 verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it's day. In other words, right now. The night comes when no one can work. And because we are a people who die, when we leave this life, we leave our work here. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 6 verse 7, we brought nothing into the world, and it's certain we carry nothing out. All the cash we've accumulated when we die stays here. Hate to tell you that. Hope I didn't mess that anything up. But it stays. Your checking account stays here. Your car stays here. Your house stays here. Everything you've accumulated in life stays here when you die. You brought nothing in. You carry nothing out. Everything we do has to be done while we're living. Number five is why. So why should I give it my best while I'm alive? Because there's no work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave where you're going. No work. Our might toward our task is while we are on earth. There's no device in the grave. There's no means to escape coming judgment. We can bury your computer with you, but you can't use it. There's no work and no device in the grave where you're going. There's no knowledge. There's no information to be gained, or nothing can change your plight in the grave. Nothing can change. There's no wisdom. Can't devise anything to change or overthrow God's plan. No work, no device, no knowledge, no wisdom in the grave where you're going. Anything that you do must be done in life, because it cannot be done in death. So that's why Solomon said, whatever your hand finds to do, you do it with all your might. So I just put some additional things in your notes at the very bottom, some additional reasons why we need to do things with all of our might. Because someone's going to ask and say, Brian, no one else is doing this. They're not giving it a lot of effort. I see people on my job every day. They're just coming in, punching the clock and punching out. They don't do anything, hardly anything. What can I say to a person like that? They don't even care. Well, anytime I think that we say a person ought to do something, which is what we're doing here, I'm saying you ought to give it all your might. There should be a rationale behind it. Because they're going to say, why? What are you going to say to them? Why should I give it effort when the other person is not? I want a good reason for, Brian, for you giving me all this admonition. Why are you giving me all this encouragement? They're the ones that need to hear it. Well, number one, Romans 14, verse 12 says, so then each of us shall give account of himself to God. No matter what they're doing, I know that I'm going to stand before God and give an account of my effort. When judgment day comes and the roll is called and it's Anderson, Brian Kay, and I step up there, he's not going to ask me about what other people have done. What'd you do? Not concerned about the outcome. What effort did you put in? Someone says many people, more people would do their best if they had to put their names on the products they produce. Well, your name is on your life's work, on your effort. Your name's on that. The second reason, again, we kind of stayed before, because that's all you can do. I'm not always able to measure up to what someone else has done. I can't produce that product that they produced. But I can give effort to whatever my task is. That's all I can do, and that's what the verse is. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, you do with all your might. Because there's no work, knowledge, wisdom, or device in the grave where you're going. You have to do it now. Effort. Effort. Number three is because the alternative of not doing your best is doing less than your best. And you're turning in work that even you know is not up to standards. Someone said, did you do your best? That's all you can do. And I and you have to live with the thoughts of knowing that you could have done better. I have to live with, I know I could have done better. I have to live with that. But also the problem is you may develop a pattern or a habit of doing less than expected. You may develop a pattern in life of doing less than what you're able. Well, this is the way I've always kind of done things, you know, just not putting the effort in. Now you have the habit of doing that. Oh, here's a task. Oh, okay, I'll see what I can do about it. I want you to develop a pattern of doing your best. Put your best into practice. You know, we've heard the expression, practice makes perfect. That's not always true, because if you're practicing something that's incorrect, it's not going to make it perfect. See, practice doesn't always make perfect. Practice makes permanent. And if you're practicing less than your best, you're making less than your best permanent in your life. That's the habit. That's going to be the lifestyle. So Solomon is asking us, saying, whatsoever your hand finds to do, you do with all your might. Because you can't do anything in the grave, from the grave. So practice your best so that becomes permanent. Also, number four, it's a reward within itself. It's just the right thing to do. May not receive anything in my hand. May not get the accolade, the plaque on the wall, or a bonus of any kind, but I still want to do or give it my best. Put forth your best effort for God. Because you will know that you used all of your might, even if others don't. You know the effort that you put into the project. You know the effort that you put into your studies. You know, even though others may not. So you may not get the credit or the accolade or something else or the attaboy. But there's a reward within itself just knowing I did my best. Another one, just add a couple to your list and I'll close. Do your best knowing that others care about you. That's why I want to do my best. First of all, know that God cares about you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7 says, cast all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. He cares. A heavenly host cares. Family cares. Oh, yeah. Family cares when you're not doing your best. Friends, especially those that depend upon you, if you're in your work situation, and you know how if that worker beside you is slacking off, you have to do more because you care about the job. If they don't care, oh, we see that. But we need to do our best knowing that somebody cares about the effort we're putting into the task. And then the last one, doing your best will have an influence on others to go and do the same. In 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 5, Paul talked about the people in Macedonia. He said, you know what? Your giving has encouraged those in Achaia to give to the poor saints in Jerusalem. The people in Achaia had heard about the church in Macedonia. Oh, they're doing what over there? I want to do the same. So we have an influence on others. When people see us doing our best, we have the ability to encourage them to do their best. May not always work that way. They may say, all right, go Brian. Keep it up. Man. I can slack off a little. You're doing more than expected. Well, even if they are not encouraged by us to do better, we still need to do our best anyway. Anyway. The close of the lesson is in Hebrews 3, verse 15 says, today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart today. So give God your best today. And it comes to a matter of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So give God your best and do it now. That's the whole theme of the lesson. Whatever your hand finds to do. If it's Christian living, then give it your best and do it now. Don't wait. We're going to sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. It's a song that we use to give you time to reflect on your relationship with God. If you haven't done so already, it's a time for you to think about becoming a Christian. And first of all, you'll need to hear the gospel good news message. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe on someone you've not heard? Have to hear. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, because the necessity of hearing. And that produces faith. And Jesus, you know, Jesus said himself in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sins. And I don't want to die in my sins. The Hebrew writer in chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God, and that's the necessity, I want to come to God, must believe that He is, and that is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. So I want to hear the good news message and believe it. Come to God. Then number 3, I want to repent because Jesus said it. In Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. So I want to include repentance in my coming to God. And then number 4, I want to confess my faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son, because that's what the Ethiopian did when Philip preached unto him Jesus. He stops his Jesus sermon and says, here's water. Anything hindering me from being baptized? And Philip said, you believe, you may. He said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip commanded the chariot to stand still. Stop the chariot. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. And they both went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. Came up out of the water, and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. Salvation is always an occasion of rejoicing. Always. So that's the invitation we extend. If you haven't done those things already, to become a child of God, a New Testament Christian, a member of the Lord's body, you have that opportunity. You want to ask brethren for strength or encouragement, and prayers on your behalf for whatever reason, we can honor that too. So let's stand together and sing this song. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just come and have a seat beside me while we're singing this song, and then let that request be known.